How many know He's worthy? Do you believe He's worthy tonight? Hallelujah. Is He worthy in your life? You were worthy for Him. He said you were worthy to come. Worthy is the Lamb. Why is He worthy? Because He was willing to pay the price. Amen. Hallelujah. We needed someone to take our sin away, didn't we? We couldn't do it ourselves. Glory to God forever. Woo! There's a lot of people, they think they're good enough. You know, I'm going to make it in by my good work. But it doesn't work that way, does it? It works by what the Lamb has done alone. Only by the blood of Jesus and no other way. Oh, hallelujah. It is Jesus or perish. Amen. Glory to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Him. Oh, good news in the house tonight. Praise God forevermore. He is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him one more time. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are You, Jesus. You're worthy of praise and honor and glory. Oh, You deserve our worship. You deserve our praise, Lord. We love You, Lord, tonight. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's good to see a full house tonight. Praise the Lord. Do you see a full house tonight? Amen. In your spirit, in that inner man where you can see things. Amen. In your inside person. Hallelujah. How many know? We got to see it. You see it with the eye of faith. Let your faith arise and the enemies be scattered. So kiss that empty chair goodbye. Hallelujah. And just be ready. There may be standing room only next week. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is at work in the house. Hallelujah. Have you been praying? Have you been seeking Him? Have you been looking to the Master? Amen. He is enough. Amen. He is our fulfillment. He is the one that fills us. He is the one that satisfies. Only Him. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord, for You first loved us. Oh, hallelujah. What a great love He has for you. He believes in us. He believes in us that we're going to do it. We're going to let Him have His way. He believes it. Hallelujah. It's not going to be happen because we seek gifts or because we're looking for power. Because we're looking for Him. Amen. We seek Him. We seek Him. Hallelujah. In His righteousness. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What kind of things are going to be added? Hallelujah. All the things that the Gentiles seek after, power and prestige and all these things. No. He said, I'm going to give you Myself. Woo, glory. I'm going to come in power and in glory and in presence. Amen. We've been talking about revival, haven't we? Praise the Lord. You remember. That's great. And we've been saying that, you know, if we did a survey, we'd probably all have some kind of idea of what we think revival looks like. But we've been looking through different revivals in the Bible. We looked there at the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. There was a beginning of the church, and a great revival broke out, and 3,000 were at it, 5,000 were at it. Amen. We saw over there in Samaria, where Philip went down to Samaria. Remember that? And there was great joy in the city. Great miracles took place, and many devils were cast out, and people were all excited and happy, and many were born again, and they baptized them. And then they sent some of the apostles down, Peter and John, right? They went down to help them get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Woo! We're going to need your help. When revival takes place, it's not just people getting saved, but coming to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? We got to get them established, don't we? We got to get them growing. We got to teach them. We're going to need you. So keep on learning. Keep on being his disciple, amen, and growing and maturing in him. That's really the key, seeking God. It's not seeking the power, but seeking him, right? Do you understand that? Everybody get that? Amen. We see the power, but that's a result of what? Knowing him. Daniel 11:32, one of our scriptures, right? But they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so we've got to get our faith and believe that these things are happening right here. They'll happen in our midst. There's going to be great joy in the city because of the things that people will see, because who we know and whose we are, and because of him. For it's his works that we do. But he needs us. Why? Because we are his authority in the earth. Amen. He needs you and I. And we talked about Ephesus, didn't we? Where they had revival again. You know, remember when they came, they burned all those books, and it was somewhere around, you know, close to $5 million probably, if we did it today. All their witchcraft books and all their junk that they were using to try to work for the devil, they burned it. Hallelujah. Praise God, they had sense enough to burn it. Amen. They didn't try to sell it, make money. They burned it because they knew it was trash. They brought fruits worthy of repentance. Amen. And we're going to see that. Well, let's turn to 1 Chronicles 29:11. We'll start there tonight. And I just want us to see and help us understand from Scripture what God truly desires to see happen in the world. He wants these revival, doesn't he? Amen. What does he want? Let's look at 1 Chronicles. That's back in the Old Testament, way back there where your pages stick together probably. Maybe a little bit anyway. 1 Chronicles 29:11. Hallelujah. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Ooh, glory, isn't that a verse? Hallelujah. He is exalted as head above all. Let's go to Psalm 67:2. Let's go to Psalm 67, verse 2. It says here that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. It is God's desire that his way be made known upon earth, his saving health among all nations. Let's look at Isaiah 12, 4 and 5. We may look at a lot of scriptures tonight, but we're going to feast upon the Word of God. How many believe that the Word of God is true and doesn't change? It lives forever in heaven. It is God speaking to us. It is His Word. He is the one that gets the glory. Amen. The great Holy Ghost wrote it down for us. Men of God, moved by the Holy Spirit. He is the author of this book. And it is God speaking to us. Verse 4 and 5 of Isaiah 12 says this, and in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Notice here, he said that in the Psalms, that what? That his way be known upon the earth. And here again in Isaiah, that these things, his excellent ways, sing to the Lord. He has done what? Excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Hallelujah. And he said in Chronicles that the Lord's greatness and power, his glory, his victory, his majesty, everything in heaven and earth, which is his kingdom, your kingdom, O Lord, is exalted, what? Above all. Amen. Hallelujah. Head above all. Glory to God. So over the past weeks and months and almost 3 years now that I've been here already, we've talked about many things. We've talked about praying in tongues. We've talked about water baptism. We've talked about the importance of the Word of God, about God's call upon our life. Amen. Seeking after Him, that relationship with the Lord to become all that He desires. As we apply these truths, the information that we've been teaching and the changes that are going to take place because we focus on one thing more than anything else, and that's spiritual maturity, amen? Rather than on just religious exercise. How many know we can focus on religious exercise? We come to church, but we're here to help encourage one another to continue to pursue God, to seek after Him, to spend that time in prayer, to spend the time in what? Relationship with our God. We've emphasized the changes that will take place within believers, but there's a greater goal than simply our personal spiritual change. Hallelujah. There's an even greater goal. The spiritual change that God works in us is so that He can produce His will in the earth. There's a reason for the change in your life. It's not just so that you're changed, but that God can produce something, what, in the earth. He needs you. He needs you and I. He needs our authority, doesn't He? Everything related to who we are in Christ is centered on God's purpose. His purpose to be accomplished upon the earth, and it includes a lot of things, doesn't it? It includes healing. How many of you know there's healing for our body? Amen. Peace for our mind. Your calling, your ministry, whatever He's called you to do, His anointing in our lives, and much more. His presence. Amen. Because it is really us, if we examine the life and ministry of Jesus, which we've done, we talked about that last Wednesday night. Remember that? We were looking at the life of Jesus. How did He do those works? How did He do that? He said, I surrender, Lord. I humble myself. And I say, Lord, have your way. Lord, He said, move me out, Lord. Father, I release myself to only do what You say and what I see You doing. I come under Your command, Lord. Matthew 6:10, did He not say, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. And then if we move down a little bit further, we've studied Matthew 6. We looked at that chapter, remember? What He said, when we pray, when we fast, when we give, right? Not if, but when we do these things. And then He said, Father, Your kingdom come. Your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. And then verse 33, what did he say in verse 33? Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God in His righteousness, and all these things are added. Amen. Let's look at John chapter 4 for a minute. Look at a couple scriptures here in John. We looked at several last week about Jesus. how he was totally moved only by the will of the Father, surrendered to him, because he took time to know the Father. He took time to get away with the Father. He took time to seek God's purpose and God's will. See, it is God's desire to bring forth his kingdom in the earth. He desired revival for every generation. How many believe that? He didn't want the dark ages that took place. He didn't want it to be waning as we see somewhat today. People drawing away. No. He wants the fire of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, the presence of God to be present. But how many know that takes place from one thing, knowing him, a heart that's turned to him, a heart that's really, truly surrendered. Many times I think we don't realize there is a price that is paid, and it's laying down our life so that the Father may have his will in the earth. It's not something that he does sovereignly. It's something, if anything, he's sovereignly waiting for us to yield over to him more and more, amen, that he can have his will done in this earth. Hallelujah. It's good news anyway. It is good news because we have something to do with it. That means we can purposely pursue him. We can purposely believe him. We can purposely surrender to him. Hallelujah. John 4:34. Didn't I say that? John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, my meat, or what I want, you know, this is my meat, this is my desire, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Hallelujah. He said, this is what I do. This is my very sustenance. This is what feeds me, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38 says this, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, Jesus said, but the will of him that sent me. He said, I didn't come to do my will, Lord. Father, I came. I'm telling you, I've come for one purpose, to do the will of him that sent me. It is my meat. It is what sustains me. It is what really feeds me. And what feeds our heart is really to do his will. Amen. How many know the word of God? We have his general will. We know he wants us healthy. We know he wants us to have that peace of mind. We know that he wants us to find our place in him, to walk with him, right? Amen. To following and walking in his anointing, in his presence, and to do his will. John chapter 12, just a few pages over. Verse 49 and 50. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Hoo-wee. Jesus said, I came not to speak of what? Myself. But to follow the commandment that the Father's given me. We know what our commandment is, don't we? To love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? To love our neighbor as ourself. We know that love does no ill to its neighbor, right? It doesn't look to seek its neighbor's wrong, but to bless and to do good, even to our enemies. To pray, to forgive, Hallelujah. What a joy to walk with Him. Many times I think there's a lot of people that are looking for peace, and it's right under their nose with the words that they speak. Yes, Lord, I will forgive. You know, for some reason, we think that He didn't give us that grace. See, we got a love nature already. It's our nature to forgive. Whew, that's a big one sometimes. I think sometimes we put it off a little further than we should in people's life and their walk with God. You know, you don't go real far with God holding bitterness and holding unforgiveness. He said we can forgive like He forgave, didn't He? Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. So what in the world are you doing, Pastor? I'm sharing you what the Word of God has to say. We're going to feast a little bit tonight. How many know? Sometimes we need a good feasting of the Word of God. We need to realize what He is saying. Verse 14 and 15 says this, "Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel.'" Jesus carried what the greatest anointing that any person has ever carried. More of God's power flowed through Him than has ever flowed through anyone else. He operated at a level of God's wisdom beyond that anyone has experienced, as far as I know. In spite of this, He didn't seek for personal promotion, only to further the purposes of God and His kingdom. His heart was saying, "Hey, I'm here, Father, for Your use. I'm not looking for my own promotion. I'm not looking for a special name." Matter of fact, He said, "I make myself of no reputation," didn't He? Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us, Lord, that we'll be of no reputation. If He asks us to do something, and maybe it looks foolish, and maybe we're going to look down upon You, people might think less of You, but God has said to do it. Let's be obedient. Amen. Let's find ourselves dying to the flesh that wants to scream and say, "Oh, but they'll think less of me." Let's get over ourselves, amen, and get into who He is and what He thinks about us and His operation and His kingdom. How many are happy and thankful that you get to work in the Father's kingdom? He needs you. He needs your authority. You're important to Him. So Jesus is to be our pattern. Therefore, like Him, we're to be kingdom-minded. Amen? As we mature spiritually, we grow, and we go about fulfilling His will, His purpose, for every lesson, every that we teach, every sermon that we preach, every demonstration of His power for the furtherance of the kingdom of the Lord. The goal of all church growth along every, with every evangelistic crusade is supposed to be about His kingdom, isn't it? It's not supposed to be about who's preaching. It doesn't make any difference if it's Pastor Doug or John Doe or Jane or Jim or whoever God happens to place His hand upon that day. But it's supposed to be about His kingdom, and we're supposed to get behind it. Amen? Therefore, there's no room for our own our own sake or our own promotion, but there's only room for His kingdom, where men's hearts are changed and lives are at stake. Hallelujah. As our scriptures that we started out with today, Chronicles, there God wants everything about Himself, what to be made known. That's His really His desire throughout the earth. That's His purpose. If we look at the ministry of Jesus, we see the example of this being done. We saw many things last week, but let's look at Matthew 7:28. Let's take a look. What did Jesus there, what do we see in His example? I know I'm kind of preaching tonight. That's teaching and preaching together. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's all right. Verse 28. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings. Let's see, is that where I'm at? Yeah, 7:28. When He ended these sayings, the people were astonished. They were astonished at His doctrine or at His teaching. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Hallelujah. How many know that when God's in it, He'll teach through you and I with authority? And He confirms His word, doesn't He? Hallelujah. John 2:23. Well, let's look at Matthew 4 for a minute, just a couple pages back. Matthew chapter 4, we saw this last week. And we talked about this a little bit. This is a form of revival in Jesus' ministry. Verse 23 through 25 says this, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto Him all sick that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and He healed them. And there followed Him great multitudes of people from Galilee, from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. How many know the dinner bell was ringing? Men saw some great deeds, and they were hungry. They began to see, I should listen to this man, something different about him. Matter of fact, there was a few times they said, hey, we haven't seen these kind of works ever. Wow. They said, well, he must be a great prophet. Nevertheless, he was alive unto the Father, a man fully surrendered to the Master. Now, some have said we have yet to see a man, what God would do through a man that's fully surrendered to God, but we see it right here through Jesus, don't we? We know what God will do. If we've fully surrendered, if we're in His plan, His purpose, hallelujah. Did I say John 1? John 1:14. John 1, verse 14. Says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let me read that again. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What did they behold in Jesus? the very glory of God, the very glory of the Father. John 17:4, a few chapters over here. How many know what John 17:4 says? We're getting ready to read it. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth, Father. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. As he ministered in word and power, people began to gather around Jesus. Hallelujah. And if it had been possible, I'm sure many would have been born again. Of course, they couldn't yet because he was not yet. He hadn't fully paid the price yet, had he? But they were still looking. They were hungry. And they began to be, many of them, of course, were baptized unto John's baptism of repentance. Saying, hey, we're seeing a new way. We're seeing who Jesus is, the Messiah. He was showing them who the Father is like, what he is like and who he is. The result probably had been thousands would have become Christians. Another way to put this is that revival was taking place. Amen? Revival would have taken place. And so we've been looking at that. And if we were to think about it, and we could surmise that God's kingdom purpose for this world would be called, we could say, in a sense, revival, or the consistent presence and power of God in demonstration. There would be teaching, preaching, healing, people being set free, and should be. You say, well, that happens to me quite often, and we've seen some deliverance here. We've seen some things happen. We've seen some people receive miracles. Amen. Yes, a miracle. Amen, Diana. Hallelujah. We've seen some things happen. Last week, the lady, or a couple weeks ago, she every pain in her body. She said, I've had this back pain for a long time. It's left. I can't hardly believe it. The pain has left me. I've seen other people and I watched other people, but I've never had it happen to me. Now, we've seen some things, but here, Jesus on a consistent, regular, daily basis. Now, you know, what do most people think about revival? Most of the church, don't they think of, hey, we're having revival this week. Monday through Friday, every night at 7 o'clock, you know. Saturday and Sunday too, maybe, you know, 7 days straight. You know, come at 7 p.m., it'll be over at 9 p.m. Don't worry, God's going to move. He's got this time to move, and that's it. But revival is really not something that we can plan and tell God how he's going to do it, is it? It's not something that we really decide, but it's something that we become. Because we become like him. Because as he is, so are we. We've already got a nature that's been changed like him. But we have to let that nature grow up, don't we? We have to decide to seek him. We've got to decide to believe him, that these things are possible in my life and through me. We don't lay hands on the sick and then just stop because nothing seemed to happen. We believe what he has said. Every single one of us have opportunity every day. It doesn't matter. Amen. To walk with him, you seek him, you pray. When you walk out of your prayer closet, he doesn't leave you. He goes with you. And his presence will dwell as we seek him. Hallelujah. The more we know him, the more we're going to hear him, the more we're going to obey him, the more we're going to walk with him. And his presence is going to be just first nature to us. His glory. Amen. How many believe that? You know, to where you're driving down the street and you see that guy with the cane walking down there and You stop the car and get out and you pray for him. And he gets healed and you get back in the car and take off. And they said, well, what happened? Well, Jesus healed me. The guy said, Jesus healed me. I don't know. Well, who was it? I don't know who healed me. I don't know who it was. And you won't care because you're about one thing. The kingdom. God's kingdom being established. God's will in the earth. Not my name. Not who I am. See, we have to come to that place where praise and criticism affect us the same. Does it make any difference? Where we're not going to have shame. We're not going to let the enemy and what he thinks of us and our past mistakes stop us. But we're going to throw off that old man and we're going to let it die. Amen. True, genuine revival is an outward manifestation of what has already been taking place in the realm of a spirit. It can't be scheduled on a calendar, but it can be scheduled from the Spirit. Because that's what we're doing. We're birthing something. We're bringing it to pass by seeking Him, by knowing Him, by getting to understand His ways. Amen. There's some things that need to take place. Yes, there needs to be intercession. There needs to be travail. There needs to be supplication. These are kinds of prayer. A lot of times we separate it all and we say, well, that's the prayer of agreement. And this is the prayer of this. And, you know, and this is the prayer of casting your care. But many times it all works together as we seek after the Father. Amen. They come together as one. And yes, there's agreement. Yes, there is prayer. Yes, there's intercession. Yes, there's groaning and travail. Yes, there's supplicating to the Father. Hallelujah. And we continue to move forward. In Jesus, we see that revival was not just about teaching or preaching or signs and wonders and miracles. It's about all of these things combined. Do you understand? You see, it's not just. We saw that when we looked there in the book of Acts, didn't we? They didn't just have revival. They didn't just have people get saved. They didn't just have teaching or preaching. But they had all of those things in fellowship. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine and in prayers and seeking the Lord. And many what were added daily to the church on a continual daily basis. Hallelujah. So we read, of course we know what it says. You know what Mark 16 says, don't you? Amen. How many knows what Mark 16 says? Let's look at it. I keep saying 15, I mean 16. Mark 16, verse 15. It says this, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These included some things. His instructions, preaching, teaching, and demonstrations. Amen. It took all these things. It's not just one, but it is all. It encompasses all that God desires to do. That's really what revival is. It's going to take a lot of work. And we're going to have to be ready. Because I know I'm just one person. I'm not going to be able to disciple 1,000 people just by myself. Amen. I mean, I might be able to teach them some things. We might be able to have some things. I might be able to do, you know, maybe I could get that many. But how many know we're going to need everybody? We need you. That's why we need you seeking God. That's why we need you getting into the Word of God, so that you can share the truths that we've been saying. You can show the Scriptures. Here's how to be born again. Here's how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's right here in the Bible. Well, you can turn to Acts chapter 2. So here's where they were filled with the Spirit. Acts 10, Acts 19. We can look at that and say, this is where the Bible is. They were laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. They begin to pray in other tongues. And you can easily share those truths. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. That's why we're seeking Him. That's why we're knowing Him. That's why we lay down our life. And we arrange our life around His desires. Now, of course, we read of this too. We saw that, you know, of course, Matthew 28, we know 19 and 20. What did He say? This is the Great Commission, right? Where He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. In other words, we're making disciples. We're not just making converts, and it's going to take some work. It means God needs us. God needs the church. I know it looks like churches are emptying out, but I'm telling you, they're getting ready to fill up. We are ripe for revival. People are hungry to know God. The Bible says that the harvest is white. It's ready. They are hungry to know God. People are looking for Him. And we're going to take Him at His instruction. Amen. How many remember? We talked about it a little bit already, Acts 8. We read that before, but let's look at it again, Acts 8. That was a great revival that took place here in Samaria. Philip goes down to Samaria, hallelujah, and preaches the gospel. Said, then Philip went down, verse 5 of Acts 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed to those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. He thought he was somebody great. Said it himself. Says, to them, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. How many believe that even the sorcerers and those that are in witchcraft and trying to do, see, they're looking for something that's real, and we have the power of God, and it is real, and it shall be made manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, see, these passages show the examples of what God commanded to come to pass. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1:5 for a minute. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5. There we go. First Thessalonians 1:5 says, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men you were among for your sake. So the power of God was not just in word, but also in power, right? The gospel of God. It wasn't just words. We've got to get beyond words. Amen. And if we pursue God, we're going to see that. We're going to pursue Him. How many know when we, what is it? What is one of our scriptures there is in 2 Chronicles 7:14, right? When we seek Him, amen, we turn from our wicked way. We're pursuing. We're calling upon the Lord. He's going to heal the land, amen. We call upon Him. That's part of what we're doing. That's part of our moving forward in knowing Him. God wants all Christians maturing to the point that He can flow through them to produce revival in the earth. The kingdom purpose is for revival to take place and the revival to produce kingdom results or Bible results. Amen. We're going to see the same things that they saw in the Bible that we read about right here. And we have to believe that. We must come to the place where we expect it. Amen. Revivals when God's ways are known upon the earth. That's where we started tonight. Amen. He wants His ways to be made known upon the earth. Glory to God forever. Whew. Hallelujah. Revivals when God's greatness, His glory, and His power are openly revealed. We put it on display. Amen. It's revealed to man. Revivals when people can come to know Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. And of course, there's other aspects of revival that we've talked about. And I'm sure there's going to be other things that are going to have to take place. And as we go, it'll be a process. It'll be learning. It'll be following Him. I'm sure the early church wasn't ready for everything that took place. If we have 5,000 saved tomorrow, we've got a bigger problem than we got today. Amen. A good problem, but it's not easy. It's time to get ready to go to work, to roll up our sleeves, to seek the face of heaven, to cry out to God, to get that word of God, what? Implanted in our heart so that we can take those things. I say, hey, here's the basics. I need you to share this with these people. They need to know how they know they're born again. Here's these verses. I need you to teach these to them. Get them to understand who they are. They've been born of the Father, sons of the living God. So that what? They can continue and move forward and mature in Him. Because we need to learn how revival can manifest and what we have to do to produce and experience and sustain that revival. Because how many want the revival to come and, you know, 6 months later, it just dies out. No, we've got to sustain that. And the things that produce revival will really sustain revival. We're already doing many of them here. Praying in the Holy Ghost, spending time with Him. Are we hungry to really know Him? Are you spending time praying in tongues? When are you going to pray tomorrow? Have you scheduled your prayer times for tomorrow yet? What time are you getting up? Or what time are you going to be? Maybe it's going to be at midnight. I don't know. Maybe you're praying at midnight tonight. That's fine. If that's your midnight person, wonderful. You're praying earlier than I am. Praise God. That's wonderful. Maybe it's 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. or 6 a.m. or 9 a.m. or maybe it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon when you get home. After you had your family time, it's 8 o'clock at night, 8 to 9, or whatever your time is. Let's get it set. Talk with the Father. Father, how much time do you need from me? Where I can actually set aside. We need to be praying, yes. We need to be praying when we're working. We need to be praying as we go about. But we need to also take that time, some time that we set aside. Father, here I am. I'm yours, Lord. Oh, Father, I'm here to be with you. I worship you. I magnify you. I love you, Lord. I want to spend some time here, Lord. I'm going to read your word and let you speak to me. Father, I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to let your will be done in my life. I surrender all, Lord. Just like Jesus surrendered his life, I'm surrendering mine, Father. I have no agenda of my own. I'm not here to do my will, but to do your will, that your kingdom may come and your will may be done, Father, that you may be known in all the earth. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the truth. And Lord, we hunger, Lord, to walk with you in that close place where revival can flow through us, Lord God, at your will, as your beck and call, Father, where we walk with you, Lord, where your presence is known, where men, Lord, not just hear words that we say, but they see the demonstrations and power of your glory. Father, we hunger for you. Lord, grace us, draw us into your presence, I pray. Help us to, on purpose, continue to pursue you and let you mature us, Lord, and grow us up to be true sons of the living God, Father. That, Lord, where we're not just half-hearted, Lord, but where we're wholehearted and we are true soldiers of the kingdom, Lord, and we endure hardness, Lord. And we are able to continue to pursue you, regardless of what we see, regardless of the things that take place in our life, Father. We give you the praise and the glory, Father, for drawing us in. Oh, wait, may we be all, Lord. May we be all for you, Lord, that you may be all in us. In Jesus' name, amen.